Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Job chapter 37, we'll read verses 1 through 13. As we consider this morning our theme, from the gift of winter, that snowstorms show us more of God. Job chapter 37, I'll read verses 1 through 13. You can follow along, even pull out your pens and your bulletin to take some notes. I think you'll find these words from God's word edifying to you this coming week. Job 37, verse 1, listen closely. This is God's inspired word. At this, my heart pounds and leaps from its place. Listen, listen to the roar of his voice, to the rumbling that comes from his mouth. He unleashes his lightning beneath the whole heaven and sends it to the ends of the earth. After that comes the sound of his roar. He thunders with his majestic voice. When his voice resounds, he holds nothing back. God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. He says to the snow, "Fall on the earth," and to the rain shower, "Be a mighty downpour," so that all men he has made may know his work. He stops every man from his labor. The animals take cover. They remain in their dens. The tempest comes out from its chamber, the cold from the driving winds. The breath of God produces ice, and the broad waters become frozen. He loads the clouds with moisture. He scatters his lightning through them. At his direction, they swirl around over the face of the whole earth to do whatever he commands them. He brings the clouds to punish men, or to water his earth and show his love. So ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray now for the Spirit's illumination. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this description of the windstorm in the winter season. We thank you, O Lord, for the truths that it speaks about who God is, the God whom Job worships, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now bless this message and all who hear it. May you aid us and encourage us in a difficult seasonal time of the year. May we be empowered to walk more with you and step in step with one another. We ask in Christ's name, and let us all say, amen. All right, how many of you have ever driven in a whiteout before? A whiteout, just see how many, okay, yeah. My first whiteout ever was in West Michigan. That's right. My first whiteout was a heart pounder. I was driving across, you know who the big offender it is. It's those muck fields. You know it, yeah. So I was driving across the muck field. I think it was on 48th Avenue, and the winds picked up. The snow began to blow, suddenly zero visibility, and I freaked out. I could not see the road in front of me, checked the rearview mirror, could not see anything behind me, couldn't see those gigantic ditches to my left or to my, what is with the ditches? When will we cover them? One day, you know, let them flow, but I mean, I can swallow my subcompact easily. And I freaked out. That was terrifying. Of course, there was that snowstorm down M6 as well. You know, I was driving down M6 and suddenly the snow hits and I'm seeing cars off to the road to my left and to my right. Their headlights are still on, people sitting in them waiting. And I wondered if I was next. That was a heart pounder. Oh, of course, there was that time on Port Sheldon when I hit my brakes, which refused to listen to me. And I just slid right through the red light. Praise God, there were no cars around. That was a heart pounder. You know, I dare say that heart pounding happens with regularity in West Michigan during the winter. Would you not agree? More than some of us would like. It makes us count down to the number of days until Easter and spring break. By the way, how many days now till Easter? 57 days. 57 days. But even still, dear church, the Bible insists that winter is a gift from God. God, in a special way, the Bible affirms, speaks to us through the winter. We sometimes miss it because of all the adversity, but we need to perk up and listen to what God is saying to you. God reveals himself in a special way this time of the year. In Job chapter 37, we hear a speech given to Job and to his three friends by Elihu, where Elihu affirms that winter is a time like none other when God reveals himself in a way to which we will listen. How does God reveal himself in the winter? Let's look at verse 1. He writes, "At this my heart pounds and leaps from its place. Listen, listen to the roar of his voice, to the rumbling that comes from his mouth." So this brings us to our first point. In the winter, God makes our heart pound. God speaks to you by making your heart pound with regularity. And we need that, dear church, whether it's through a near miss or a close call or a winter blast that suddenly consumes us. God physically wakes up our bodies so that our souls will respond in like fashion. Does that make sense? God wakes up our bodies. You see, in some way this winter, God is going to make your heart pound. And that experience will stimulate your soul. It will wake up your soul, which got a little sleepy with the shorter days and longer nights and the gray and the white and the blah. He wakes you up. You see, dear church, a true relationship with God includes having deep, heart-pounding emotions towards God on a regular basis. You should feel something about God on a regular basis, because if you don't, your faith is weak. This is how the Christian life begins, dear church. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Faith in Jesus Christ is head faith and heart faith combining into saving faith. It is mind and emotions. Not only does the Christian life begin with emotions towards God, but they continue with emotions towards God. As you grow in faith, the Bible says this, that love will be shed abroad in your heart, Romans 5, 5. Our hearts should be more loving. The Bible says that peace that passes understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4, 7. The Bible says you can expect to experience joy unspeakable and full of glory, 1 Peter 1, 8. And so you and I need to be looking for heart-pounding encounters between us and our living God. Don't settle for anything less. That is why the English martyr John Bradford made it his rule to not finish praying or reading his Bible until he felt something of Christ burning in his heart. Bernard of Clairvaux used to say, "I make it my spiritual practice to never go away from Christ without Christ." You see, these men were seeking some kind of heart-pounding encounter with the living God. Sadly, today, when we don't have those regular encounters, we look for it elsewhere. Some of us men look for heart-pounding experiences when we watch the Super Bowl. We get all worked up over that Super Bowl, and that's our heart-pounder for the winter. Some of the ladies might look for a heart-pounding experience by catching a chick flick with their girlfriends. Some of you boys, I know you're seeking it when you go play video games. Some of you girls do it when you and your girlfriends go over to the mall and start shopping till you drop. But dear church, for those who profess faith in Jesus Christ, we need on a regular basis to have a heart-pounding, emotion-laden experience with God in Jesus Christ. And if by chance, listen closely, if we are not diligent in cultivating an intellectual and emotional relationship with God in Christ, then along comes God sending winter into your life to help you. He'll get your emotions stoked with a close call, with a near miss, with a wintertime humdinger of biblical proportions, where you say at the end of that, okay, thanks God, thanks. That's what he does. Now, our writer, our speaker, Elihu, goes on to point out the next way God does this, and that's our second point. One way God does this is through thunder. God gives us heart-pounding experiences through thunder, our second point. Look at verse 3. It says, God unleashes his lightning beneath the whole heaven and sends it to the ends of the earth. And after that comes the sound of his roar. His thunders, he thunders with majestic voice. When his voice resounds, he holds nothing back. Thunder. Now, you know what it's like to jump when it thunders, right? When just out of the blue, it hits and you jump. It catches you off guard and it scares you. Kids, when I was a little boy and it thundered at my house, I would get scared. And my dad used to say, oh, that's just God bowling. Now, I don't think it was God bowling, but I do think Dad was right. It was God. This I know. It was God up there. Now, what's interesting is that in Israel, it would thunder in the winter. That was their rainy season, November to April, March, April. That was their rainy season. For us, thunder ordinarily comes in the springtime or in the summer, except when you live in West Michigan. We get thunder in the wintertime from time to time. We have a special name for it. We call it thunder snow. Only in West Michigan. It's so weird. It comes from our lake effect. And I can't explain it. I tried to look it up, and I'm not the greatest at science. It was filled with boring climatology terms. But it happens, and it's strange. A thunder snow, that's when it's snowing down here, but because of temperature changes and pressures and other strange things 5,000 feet up, there is thunder and lightning above. And when that happens, everybody in the winter says, was that thunder? And it usually makes the local news. Thunder snow. Well, thunder, says Job 37, whether spring, summer, or winter, is a marvelous thing, and it's beyond our understanding. And that's what we're to think about. It teaches us about God, that whenever in our wintertime, if you hear thunder snow this winter, you remember how marvelous and beyond understanding God is. Thunder snow is so unusual, but you know what? So is your God. He is so unusual. His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. They are high above you. God is so different, like thunder in the winter. Job 36:26, one chapter earlier. Elihu says, how great is God? He is beyond our understanding. And then here in chapter 37, verse 5, he thinks about that thunder and says the same thing. God's voice thunders in marvelous ways. He does great things beyond our understanding. And so when it thunders here in West Michigan in the wintertime, and you think, truth is stranger than fiction. But you know what? So is God. God is so different. For example, God loves people who do not love him. How strange. That is so different. What a different God. God created a world he knew would reject him. How unusual, beyond my understanding. God does not overcome evil with evil, but overcomes evil with good. How peculiar is our God? God does not end the world today. No, he is patient and does not want any to perish, but all to repent through the gospel of his Son. How marvelous! Your God is so peculiar, so strange, so marvelous beyond our wildest imagination, like thunder in a West Michigan winter. So the next time you see lightning flashing upon the snow or thunder in the winter above, remember how strange and marvelous and beyond understanding is your incomprehensible God. Elihu goes on, a third point. What we learn from the snow and rain. What we learn from the snow and rain. Now, it wouldn't be a West Michigan winter without snow and rain, would it, right? My last call, I was in Columbus, Ohio. We averaged about 12 inches of snow each year. Hardly anything. Now we're up here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, 90, 95 inches on average. And every winter, God sends it to West Michigan in a unique way. He sends drizzle, rain, freezing rain, mixed rain and snow, sleet, hail and ice, sometimes all in one winter season. And what we learn from this passage is that God is speaking to you through this precipitation, and he is speaking to you a heart-pounding message. Are you ready for that heart-pounding message? God's message each winter when he sends the bucketfuls of snow is this: stop. Cease. Be still and know that I am God. It's his message. Now, it really is a gift, dear church, that God gives us the Sabbath, right? The Sabbath day, it's one of the Ten Commands. It was a creational ordinance. It predates so many things, that six-in-one pattern. 6 days we shall labor and do all of our work, and the seventh day to rest from all of our worldly labors, and now this side of the cross to rest in our living relationship with Jesus Christ. But truth be told, we Americans tend to be the worst Sabbath breakers ever. I mean, it is just in our ethos. Always work, work, work. Always play, play, play. Always do, do, do. Always on the go. And so, dear church, if we will not listen to God's special command, if we will not listen to his 10 commands, then God will gladly send a season into our life to stimulate Sabbath-keeping habits. God sends you snow. And he sends rain in the winter. And verse 7, he tells you the reason why. Look there, verse 7, it's our series memory verse. That all men he has made may know his work, he stops every man from his labor. Every week of our lives, God commands us to cease, desist, renew, and rest. That is God's overt command, clearly found in his word. And he does it, dear church, for your good. It's for your good. And sadly, I've had to learn this as I age and my body no longer cooperates with my ambitions to see how good cease and resting once a week is. Jesus insists that man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for man. But when we Americans, we're so smart, we're the smartest people in the world. When we pretend to be wiser than God, when we ignore this rhythm of life and stay busier than we have ever been before, when we rush from place to place, filling every minute with activity, spending less and less time on relationships and more times on things and gizmos and gadgets and buttons and buzzers, until we're physically tired, spiritually empty, and emotionally frayed. Well, God will gladly send winter to slow you down. My question, dear church, this winter is, are you listening? Have you slowed down and are you listening? Are you slowing down to linger over his word or plunging out into the white? Are you staying put so you can pause to pray? I hope you're just sitting some of these dark nights, sitting with your family, sitting with loved ones, lingering, enjoying, being. The salvation Christ gives us includes rest, refreshment, ceasing, desisting, and winter time is a special time to do so, that you may know his work and know him. But Elihu continues, there's more to learn from the winter, not only from the snow and from the rain. Verse 9, he begins to discuss the wind. Wind in the winter. Verse 9, it says, the tempest comes out from its chamber, the cold from the driving winds, the breath of God produces ice, the broad waters become frozen. Our next point, the wind. You know, wind chill is brutal in West Michigan. It is crazy around here. Wind chill? And we get it across our open fields there. You know, Ottawa County has so many open fields. We can find it on the shores of Lake Michigan. I went to visit one of our couples who live in Grand Haven, went there on a dark, cold night. Oh my goodness, I parked outside in Grand Haven. You ever been there in the winter? It's like a ghost town. And the wind blowing off of Lake Michigan. I mean, it's sort of romantic if you're warm. it's just eerie to be in Grand Haven in the winter. Some of you are skiers on the ski slopes at Bittersweet down south or up north in Cadillac or beyond, and you're on that snow lift, and if you're in the super fast one, you really got to cover up because the wind just is blowing. Wind chill is so strange. You know, every mile per hour of the wind reduces the feel of the temperature, give or take a degree, and that's pretty cold. And that wind chill is paralyzing. They will cancel schools in our school district based on wind chill. I think it's a 30-minute time. They do not want somebody outside for 30 minutes without threat of hypothermia or frostbite. And so this wind in West Michigan will drive people. It controls our lives, the wind chill. It keeps us indoors. It can cancel schools. It makes us run for cover. It makes us stand next to a fireplace or a heater. We can't take it. And not only does the wind freeze people, it freezes great bodies of water, is what our verse says. You know, in Michigan, it's much like Wisconsin and Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes, they're all frozen. And sometimes in a really bad year, you see the satellite and all of Lake Michigan, totally white. That cold and wind freezes the lakes, rivers, and streams, and it even blows and causes those icebergs to surge up along the shore of Lake Michigan, and it's fun to hike near them. It's a powerful and beautiful thing to behold frozen Lake Michigan in the winter. And all of that, says Elihu, reminds us of God. Reminds us of God. That God is as powerful as a West Michigan wind, more powerful. That God can drive us. That God can toss us to and fro, drive us indoors, let us outdoors, cancel our plans or encourage our plans. He can freeze us like ice. Every time the wind blows your car on the highway when you're driving, you think of that. Every time, as happens to me every few years, a tree falls in my backyard and the entire forest behind my house sways in a windstorm, you remember that God is big and you are not. The wind. And our final point in Elihu's speech here, verse 11, he finally points out the West Michigan nemesis. the one that is hardest for all my friends from the South who've ever settled into the Midwest in the winter. They talk about it every year. The clouds. The clouds. Verse 11. It says, he loads the clouds with moisture. He scatters his lightning through them. At his direction, they swirl around over the face of the whole earth to do whatever he commands them. Well, we in West Michigan are notorious for our cloudy winters. Over half of our days are cloudy. Over half, 56%, over half are cloudy. Sometimes those clouds seem to be a curse. Other times they are a blessing. The Bible says sometimes weather is a curse. Look at verse 13. It says he brings the clouds to punish men. Sometimes weather is a curse. Have you ever noticed how much clouds affect our mood and our health every winter? Every winter. We prepare ourselves for it. We tell each other, now stay cheerful. Get ready. It's coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here it comes. We're in it. Why aren't you smiling? It's so powerful. During cloudy winters, mortality rates rise, energy levels fall, moods drastically swing. Now, it varies from person to person. Some of you are just constantly happy. Thank you. Now, I'm glad you are. It varies from person to person, but sometimes the weather hits us all wrong and creates a seasonal affective disorder. And we get down. When the weather hits us just wrong, it heightens the hardships of life. Miseries that are common to man seem to multiply. Sin and its misery are felt especially strong during cold and cloudy days. We realize how fallen we are. All the bad news that has come because of our sin and rebellions against God and against our neighbor is amplified by those clouds. Lord willing, it will make you cry out to God for help on that cloudy day. The Bible says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's ear is open to all who cry out for help. He says that if you confess your sins, acknowledge the misery, and rest upon Christ alone for help above, he will aid. And of course, along with that spiritual care, we have to do a few other things. You have to eat right, you have to exercise, stay active, build your mental health. Those are the ordinary means by which God gives us to cope through winters. Spiritual and general self-care. And so, yeah, sometimes clouds are a curse from God's hand, but that curse can drive us back to God. And of course, other times the weather is a blessing. We've talked about that in an earlier sermon, but verse 13, second half, says God brings the clouds to punish men or to water his earth and to show his love. So I love that hymn where it says, behind the cloud of a frowning providence, there hides a smiling face. Those same rain clouds that make us gloomy water our earth, fill our lakes and streams, and provide much needed water during the springtime of our lives. That is an act of love and mercy. So, dear church, I close this message and I close this sermon series with this challenge. Are you ready for the next snowstorm? There are still 56, 57 days of snow and rain and wind and clouds. Maybe we'll get lightning and thunder. Are you ready for God to wake up your body so that our souls will wake up and seek him? You know, on Good Friday, when Christ suffered on the cross, a snowstorm did not roll in. But darkness did cover the land. The earth did shake, the rocks did split. God brought clouds that day to planet Earth. He brought the clouds of suffering that day, but it was not to punish men, rather to punish a man on our behalf, the Lord Jesus. And so, dear church, on a really, really dark, cloudy West Michigan winter day, you look up at that cloudy, nebulous, frightening, dark, oppressive sky, and you remember that man. That God's son suffered the darkest and cloudiest and most depressing wintertime cloudy day known to humanity. And he did it not to bring you punishment, but to bear yours and to show God's love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for wintertime. Thank you for the wind, the snow, the rain, the clouds, the storm, the freezing lakes, streams, and rivers, and all of the messages they declare to us from the living God. Attune our ears to that message and open our hearts to a heart-pounding encounter with God through Jesus Christ. Stimulate us to love and prayer and worship, to spending time together, to cease, desist, and rest in Christ with one another by our side. Thank you for your word. Bless it now this coming week, we ask in Jesus' name, and let us all say amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.